This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The Apple iPhone 4S, for now, no longer available in China.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. There were riots today in China, not because of a labor dispute or some kind of human rights campaign. The trouble began when an Apple store in Beijing announced it was canceling the sale of the new iPhone 4S, and the company has now temporarily suspended sales at all Chinese stores. And the people who had waited in line all night pelted that store in Beijing with eggs, and a police tactical unit had to be called in. Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
Last year at the launch of the iPad 2 in China, it was a fistfight in a smashed store window. Now this. Sean Ryan, author of the forthcoming book, The End of Cheap China, says Apple's underestimating itself in China.
They underestimate the popularity of Apple products. The iPhone 4S entered China months after entering the United States. They have their Siri, but doesn't even have Mandarin language capability, yet still you have people lining up all night long.
And after lining up all night, customers in Beijing were told to go home without their iPhones. The response was a barrage of eggs splattering against the modern glass exterior of the store. An Apple spokeswoman chalked it all up to the popularity of Apple's products. But Ryan says Apple simply doesn't get China.
They really have viewed China as a secondary market, which is a mistake, because we think the market could handle 100 Apple stores and that China should actually be a larger market for Apple than the United States. Demand here is high. People just go crazy for Apple products.
And that's because of the 300 stores Apple has globally, only 5 of them are in China. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Well, from China to Europe now, where things seem to be looking up. In Italy, the government was easily able to borrow $4 billion to pay for spending over the next 3 years. And the head of the European Central Bank says it is evidence that the new European bailout is paying off. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London with the latest on that story. Stephen, why the newfound optimism?
Italy and Spain borrowed $32 billion between them over the past 2 days, and they had no trouble at all. Investors shoveled their cash in, and as a result, their borrowing costs fell sharply.
Now, why, though, Stephen, is the European Central Bank claiming credit for that?
Because the central bank has made available hundreds of billions in cheap loans to the Eurozone commercial banks, and they're starting to lend that money to Eurozone governments, making it easier and cheaper for them to borrow, making it less likely they'll default.
So is this it? A crisis over?
Not quite, no. The European Central Bank is certainly working more effectively, but some analysts say the governments in the Eurozone still haven't done enough to get their finances under control. Steve Barrow of Standard Bank says that'll become more difficult if the Eurozone as a whole lurches into recession this year, as seems likely.
That's not the right sort of backdrop that you need to be able to get the budget deficit reductions that governments are promising.
And there's a lot more borrowing to do. The Eurozone as a whole needs to borrow almost $1 trillion before the end of this year.
Wow. All right. Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thank you so much.
Okay, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. European markets are up more than 0.5% at the moment. Asian shares were up today as well. Online subscription service Hulu Plus says the number of its paid subscribers rose last year to 1.5 million by the end of 2011. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow tacked on 21 points to end the day at 12,471.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the knowledge effect. and by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the Internet and stopping unwanted email. Reputation.com.
Tonight, Penn State's new president will host yet another town hall meeting with alumni about the sexual abuse scandal that's engulfed the university. It is the third in a series of confrontational question and answer sessions, or something akin to what you'd see from angry stockholders at some big company. Marketplace's Gregory Warner attended a forum last night and he filed this report.
More and more, public colleges in this country feel like corporate America. Tonight, 650 Penn State alumni pack a Radisson Hotel conference hall like unhappy shareholders. In the front row sits Larry Grossman, class of 73.
While people I felt who were in control should have taken the bull by the horns, now the whole university is kind of tainted, and that really ticks me off.
So why being here, how is that going to help untaint it?
I don't know that it will untaint it, but it gives me a chance maybe to vent my anger, okay?
To vent and to vet the new CEO, University President Rodney Erickson, who replaced President Graham Spanier, dismissed in November. Grossman's family is still struggling over how much to donate to the alma mater, and so is Anne Marie Merrill, flanked by her sorority sisters.
That's what I'm here tonight to make a decision on, quite frankly. I am. I'm here. That's part of what I'm here for, to find out what do we do about these Penn State season football tickets? What are we going to do about the donations?
President Erickson gives a speech about openness and compassion and living up to Penn State values that lasts just 7 minutes. Then he sits in a plush chair on the long stage to take questions for an hour 15. Anthony Lubrano, a financial advisor and multi-million-dollar donor, says he's just come from Joe Paterno's house.
And Coach wanted me to share this with all of you, and he was very clear. He said, and I'll try to do my best Joe impression,
"Kid, remember, this is not about me. This is about our school."
So in spite of how we've treated him, he's still thinking about us first.
When it was all over, I asked the sorority alum, Anne Marie Merrill, what she decided about her donation.
I don't know. It just was more the same, and the audience contributed to asking the same questions over and over again. So I think football money is due February 1st, so I've got a couple weeks.
Another alum told me she's going to give even more this year, but earmarked. And first, she's going to go on the university website and actually read the budget. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
And finally, one last word from me on this, my last day at Marketplace. It's been an honor and a privilege to have been a part of this broadcast over the last 3+ years. And while I've made a decision to move on, I'd like to thank you for supporting public radio and my small part in it. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. I'm still on Twitter at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
For most, Friday is the end of a long, hard week. But for us, we're just getting started.
We're clearly in this cycle of healing again.
But it goes kind of up, down, down, up.
I think we discovered something wonderful when our credit got downgraded.
I'm Con Rizdahl, the Weekly Wrap. Everything you need to know about the week's big economic news and oh so much more. It's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.